All right, brethren, let's turn to Joshua chapter 20. Joshua chapter 20. We'll read this chapter together. Joshua chapter 20. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither. Someone who's committed manslaughter. And they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. If someone under the law, if someone killed another man, that person's near kin could come and it was a man for a man, it was blood for blood. They could avenge the blood of their near kin. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kedesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, that's the first city, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim. And notice all of these cities are in a mount. They're a place where they can be seen. Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the Mount of Judah. And on the other side of Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger. The Lord is already declaring here to Joshua that promise he made to Abraham, that he has a people that are made up of Jews and Gentiles. And the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. Now, what is a refuge? What is a refuge? Well, it's a place of hope. It's a place where one can flee for safety and for security. That's what a refuge is. Now, these six cities are typical. They're a type. The law, Moses spake of me, Christ said. These are a shadow of good things to come. Not the very substance, the shadow of good things to come. And these six cities are typical of our one God and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, who is the refuge for guilty sinners. He's the refuge. The believer is somebody who is, as a guilty sinner, has fled to Christ our refuge. Look at Hebrews 6 with me. Hebrews chapter 6. And you'll want to hold your place in Hebrews. We'll be back and forth here some. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Let's begin in verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, look at this next phrase, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. This is a place of security and safety. which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, you are a guilty sinner. I can say that without reservation about everybody here, me included. You are a guilty sinner. And you need a refuge. You need a place of safety and security. You need a place that you can run to and hide yourself in so that the avenger of blood, God Himself, who will by no means clear the guilty, you'll be safe and secure from the wrath of God. That place is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what the Scriptures teach. Believe. How do I enter into that city? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, the first thing we see here, and I want to point out these names of this city, these cities, to show you that Christ is that refuge. Notice these names. Verse 7. Kadesh. This means holy. It means holy. Christ is the Holy One. For such a high priest became us who is holy. Holy. Harmless. Undefiled. Separate from sinners. Made higher than the heavens. This is our refuge. He's holy. And those who are in Him are holy. This is what makes this our Redeemer such a refuge. Look at the next city. It's called Shechem. It means the shoulder. Shechem means the shoulder. In Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah said, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder." The government of the world and the government of his church and his kingdom is upon his shoulder. The Scriptures says that sin was laid upon him, upon his shoulder it was laid, and he bore that sin away. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity. Laid on him. It's on his shoulder. He finds each of his lost sheep. He comes to wherever they are, and he finds those lost sheep. And you know what he does with them when he finds them? When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. This is who our refuge is. Then the next word we see, Joshua 20 verse 7, is Hebron. Hebron, it means fellowship. When we sinned in Adam, we lost fellowship with God. We lost communion with God. But in Christ, our city of refuge, we have fellowship with God. The Scripture says, truly our fellowship, mine, every other believer here, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We have communion with Him. God is faithful by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at this next city, number 4, in verse 8. It was Bezer. That means a fortified place. You know, a refuge is not going to be much good unless it's a fortified place. Unless it's a place where no harm can come to you whatsoever. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. That's our Lord. This is what Psalm 91:2 says. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. He's the fortified city. Then look at the fifth city here. Verse 8. It's called Ramoth. That means exalted. Exalted. God hath highly exalted him. God's pleased with this city of refuge. He's pleased with Christ the Lord. And God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And you know what he did? When he exalted him, or gave him a name above every name, you know what he did? Look over at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. If you get a chance, you go listen to the message that Brother Darvin Pruitt preached down at the Danville Conference. A seat with a view. A seat with a view. This is what he did. Verse 4. Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. You see, this, if you were dead in sins, this is all by grace. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace unto us by his kindness through Jesus Christ. This is the exalted one, and those who God put in him, those whom he represented, those for whom he died, when he was exalted and given a name above every name, they were exalted and made to sit down with him. And that's what he revealed. When he quickens us together with him, he raises us up, and we have a seat with a view. And we begin to see all these riches he's given us in this fortified city, in this exalted city. The sixth city in verse 8 was called Golan. It means revealed or manifested. Christ is God manifest, revealed in the flesh. Hebrews 1 says he's the express image of God. Colossians said he's the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. He's manifest. Christ was manifest. God was manifest in Christ in the flesh. And in Christ, the righteousness of God is manifest. How God can be just and the justifier of hell-deserving sinners. His righteousness. How he makes satisfaction. How he can make mercy and truth kiss each other in harmony. We've been trying all our lives to legislate and pass laws to make all the racial and all social barriers to go away, and so that we can all be one. And it hadn't worked. It's gotten worse. Worse and worse and worse. We continue to divide between this political party and that political party. Between this works religion and that works religion. Between illegal and legal. Between majority and minority. Between all these various things that we put forth. And we keep passing laws to stop it, to stop it, to stop it. And it's all because we broke one. Because we broke one. And the man who stands up and uses the gospel, so-called religion, as his platform to try to promote himself and gain a following and try to, in the name and pretense of creating oneness, that man, whether he's white or he's black, is the worst slave master that ever lived on the face of the planet. This oneness is only created when this revelation of Jesus Christ is made in the heart, and we behold that by the faith and fidelity of Christ Jesus the Lord, by what he accomplished on Calvary's tree, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female, but we are all one by faith in Christ Jesus. That's the only way this unity is going to be created. When it pleased God, Paul said, who separated me from my mother's womb, call me by his grace to reveal his son in me. I can't reveal it to you. I can't reveal Christ in you. God has to do that. God in Christ is the refuge for sinners. Do you need a refuge? Do you need one? The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is what the psalmist said. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. All right, these second thing. These cities of refuge were set forth by the Lord. Look here in verse 1. The Lord spake unto Joshua. That's who spake. That's who set this forth. He spake to Moses first. Then he came and told Joshua. He said, now set up these cities. He set these cities forth. He provided these cities. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior set forth by God. By God the Father. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation, to be the satisfaction, to be the mercy seat, to be the city of refuge, to declare his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of all them that believe on him. He set him forth, just like he appointed these cities. Here's the third thing. The way into this city was prepared so that there was clear access for the guilty. They could get into this city. There was no hindrance for them to get into this city. Deuteronomy 19:3, and I'll just read this to you, gives the same instruction as the Lord is giving it to Moses. And he says, "Thou shalt prepare the way into these cities. Thou shalt prepare the way that every slayer may flee thither and get into this city." Christ himself is the way. He is the way. He is the high way. Look at verse 6. It says, "He should dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then the slayer shall return." You see, when the high priest died, that guilty man could go home free. So long as the high priest was living, no harm could befall the guilty criminal who dwelled in the city of refuge. There's two things here. Christ, our high priest, died at Calvary. And when he died at Calvary, he obtained eternal redemption for all of God's elect. But he's risen, and he lives. And because he lives, no condemnation can come unto them whom he died for. God's holy law and his justice demands they must be left alone. They can't come into condemnation. They just can't. Every priest standeth daily ministering, offering sacrifices, the same ones over and over and over, that cannot take away sin. Men trying to save themselves and offer sacrifice after sacrifice that cannot take away sin. But this high priest, after he made one offering for sin forever, he sat down at the right hand of God, henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Because he's conquered them. He conquered them all. He conquered every one of them, and they're going to all be made his footstool. Because he has perfected forever them that he's calling out by his grace. Them that were sanctified when they were put in him by divine election. Them that are sanctified by his blood. Them that are sanctified when they're called into this fortified city. Christ himself has removed all the obstacles out of the way to approach unto our God, our refuge. He's taken all the obstacles out of the way himself. Sin, your sin, my sin, the sin for everyone he came to save had to be put away, and he put it away. God had to be declared just. He declared him just. Those whom he died for had to be justified. He justified them. Satan had to be conquered on their behalf, and he conquered Satan, he that had the power of death that kept us in bond. He conquered him. You notice here that this city of refuge was only for those guilty of manslaughter, but Christ is the refuge for those that are guilty of all sin. All sin. The city of refuge was for Jew and Gentile. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your station in life is. It doesn't matter what your background is. It don't matter how sinful you have been. He came to save sinners. He's our refuge to preserve us from temptation. He's our refuge to save us in trouble. He's our refuge from every present danger right now. He never ceases being the refuge of his people. I didn't write this down, but Robert Hawker had an interesting observation on this, that he said there's something in this, that there was refuge on the wilderness side and there was refuge on Canaan's side across the Jordan. And he said, what a blessed thought that right now in this wilderness, he's our refuge. And when we've crossed the Jordan of death and enter into glory, he'll always, continually, forever be our refuge. And he sent his messengers to clear the way. Look at Isaiah 62. This same Lord who is the way, this same Lord who's taken out every obstacle for his people to approach unto God, he's also sent forth his messengers. And his gospel preachers are doing this right here. What he's told them to do, Isaiah 62:10. Go through the gates. Prepare you the way of the people. Cast up the highway. That's what I'm trying to lift up this highway before you so you see the way, so you know the way. He's the way. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. I'm telling you right now, the only thing that's keeping you from entering into this city is your righteousness. You don't think you need to enter. You don't think you're guilty. That's what's keeping you from entering. Cast up, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people, a sign, a direct, show them the way. That's what his messengers are sent to do. He's the way. He's fulfilled the way. He's taken all the hindrance out of the way, and he sent forth his messengers to declare it. Here's the fourth thing. These cities were near wherever you were. They were near. And that's how it is with Christ. Whoever you are, wherever you are, no matter where you are in the land, on either side of the Jordan, you could easily flee to one of these cities. Look at Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. Listen, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? What does the righteousness of faith say? The word is nigh thee. That means it's near thee. It's close. How close is it? How close is this word of salvation? Even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. God's going to put it there. He's going to have to put it there. He's going to have to give you this faith. He's going to have to put this word in your mouth, this word in your heart. But it's near. It's near. Christ is near. That if thou shalt say, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Oh, when you look at Christ Jesus the Lord and you see everything that he did, everything that he endured, all the suffering and the agony and the contradiction of sinners against himself. And then you behold him on Calvary's tree and you behold how he bore the wrath of God. How he swallowed up justice. How he was pierced through with the sword of God's divine wrath. And how he bore that eternal wrath in his body on the tree. When you see that and you behold that, that's what it took to work righteousness. To work the righteousness God requires of you and me. When you behold that, do you know what a blessing it is to hear these words? And all you have to do, Melinda, is believe. And that righteousness is yours. What a light and easy yoke. Huh? He's borne on his shoulder the yoke. He's borne the yoke of wrath and judgment. He's borne the heavy yoke so that all remains for his people is a light yoke. Trust him. Trust him. Believe on him. If that avenger of blood caught that guilty man outside of that city of refuge, you know what he could do? He could kill him. Justly kill him. Justly kill him. The law demanded it. He could. He could kill him. If God finds you outside of Christ, you know what his law demands? The soul that sinneth must die. Must die. But if that guilty man was in that city, if he got in that city of refuge and he stayed in that city of refuge, he was under the protection of that same holy law. God's got to cease to be holy for condemnation to come on that man that's in that city. Every sinner who flees into Christ, brethren, the law is your friend. The law of God's your friend. Because it demands no condemnation can come to you. Oh, how am I going to enter him? How am I going to enter this city? By faith. Believe on him. Believe on him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed already from death unto life. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. Who's going to lay anything to the charge of one for whom Christ died? Who's going to be able to bring any railing accusation against one that Christ died for and purged their sin and put it away forever, and God Almighty says, I will not remember it anymore? Who's going to lay charge to them? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And now that law that was a curse to us says, don't touch them. Don't touch them. Flee into this city. Flee into it. If you're outside of Christ, if you don't trust Christ, you're the wrath of God abideth on you. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Here's the fifth thing we see. Abide in him. Enter into him by faith and abide in him, and you'll live. Abide in him. He says there in verse 6, he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment. Perseverance doesn't save you. It doesn't. Perseverance is evidence you've been saved. Perseverance doesn't make you a disciple of Christ. Perseverance is evidence you're a disciple indeed. We're not of them that draw back. We're of them that continue in him. He said, abide in me. Just like that vine must, that branch must abide in that vine in order for it to have life and live and bring forth fruit. So we must abide in Christ Jesus that we might have life, that we might bring forth fruit. The fruit of righteousness is by Jesus Christ. Read Philippians 1. We're made partakers of Christ. Here's the promise. We're made partakers of Christ. The evidence of it is that we've been made partaker of the divine nature, that we've been made brought into this unbreakable, unchangeable union. The evidence of it is if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. That's proof. Proof of it. That God did the grafting and it wasn't just some little pretended graft that you made. That God did it. And when we're found in him in that day, there's going to be a whole congregation brought forth. And there's going to be some books opened up. And there's going to be a book opened up. And there's going to be those on the left are going to be judged out of the books. And every sin's going to be brought into account. Every vain thought, every idle word, every sin that you've ever hidden and kept, sin you don't even know about, it's going to be brought forth out of the books. And then those on the right hand who have fled for refuge in this city, Christ our Lord, who have been grafted into the vine by the grace of God and who have persevered in the vine unto the end and held fast unto the end, they're going to be judged out of the book. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. It's called the Book of the Lamb that was slain from before the foundation of the world. When God put his people in Christ and wrote their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. I picture Christ Jesus the Lord as he's entering into covenant with God Almighty, God the Father. I picture him writing down every name in the book. Every name in the book. Every name in the book that God gave him. And then he said, Lord, Father, now make the world and create them, and I'll go redeem them. And he was slain from that very hour. And the names were in that book from that very hour. And in that day, it's going to be made manifest out of that book. These have been judged in that Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And then we're going to enter in to that city from which we fled. The very presence of God, very communion with God, when faith shall be turned to sight and we shall be with our Redeemer forevermore. That heavenly Jerusalem, that city where every citizen has equal rights and every citizen has the free benefit of their king and their father and their husband, that city where every sinner has no reason for tears anymore whatsoever. Would you be a partaker of that city? God says, here's the command, and I pray he make it effectual in your heart. Flee. Flee. Run. Run. Run as fast as you can in your heart and believe on Christ Jesus the Lord and enter into that city and stay put right there. You have a strong consolation. God who cannot lie says, I will save you. Amen.